Hello, and welcome to another episode of Uprising, the podcast brought to you by POC, or our podcast. I'm Melissa Law. I head up marketing at POC, and today I'm delighted to welcome our guests. We have Michelle Ellicott-Taylor, the Global Head of Partnerships at Antavo, and Sheila Power, the Chief Sales Officer at Antavo. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And I'm really lucky today because I'm also joined by Helen Slavin, our COO of POC, who you've heard on the podcast before. So hi, Helen.
Hi. Nice to be back.
It's good to have you back. And I know this is an area you're quite passionate about, so I'm glad to have you in the room. So today we're talking to Antavo. It's the most powerful loyalty cloud on the market, and I'm sure we're going to delve into that in more detail, offering a scalable, pure-play loyalty technology that's easy to integrate thanks to robust APIs. But I'm sure both of you can do a much better job of telling us about Antavo than myself. So really, we're going to get into that. But I know this one has a special place in your heart, Helen.
So this is a really special podcast. Not only is the subject something which is, I think, preeminent now across most retail and brands, but also because it's not often we have four senior women in the tech business in one room, let alone on a single podcast episode. So it's a delight to be part of this. Thank you both so much for joining us. And to kick us off, it would be really great if you could just both give us an overview of Antavo, where it came from and what you're set up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you first a little bit, I guess, about what it is that we offer. So, yeah, as you mentioned, we're a pure play loyalty management platform. So we are the engine that drives some of the world's best loyalty programs. We're really proud of our customer base. And we are a API-centric modular platform. So customers plug us into their MarTech ecosystem, and we are delivering all of the loyalty customer journeys that they're looking for. We are very much a tech product business rather than a full loyalty consultancy. So we're really passionate about, you know, we want to have the most flexible loyalty platform out there so that when our customers have got the most fantastic, they know their business better than us, they know their customers, they know what's going to appeal to their customers. So we want them to be able to create the most unique, inspiring, innovative loyalty concept, and whatever they come up with, we want to make sure our platform is designed from the bottom up in such a way it can deliver what they're looking for. So that's our mission at Antavo, to provide the most flexible, forward-looking kind of loyalty platform that goes well beyond points and transactions, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that later on.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, we're definitely starting to see, I'll be honest, I'll hold my hands up. A number of years ago, I wasn't a huge user of loyalty schemes because I did not like all the cards in my pockets or in my purse, and they didn't fit in. But, you know, we've completely changed now, haven't we, in terms of what we're doing and with the digital interfaces that are there. And you're really seeing different types of loyalty scheme. Sometimes as a consumer, you don't even know they are a loyalty scheme, let's be honest. So it's interesting that you provide that flexibility, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And as a consumer now, I almost feel annoyed if I'm engaging with a brand or a retailer and they don't care enough to know about me and to offer me something. Mm-hmm. So I know that it's something that's really sort of bedded itself in outside of perhaps the grocery and airline routes it came from, and I know that we'll delve more into that. But seeing that we have, you know, some sort of senior women, it's always really interesting for us, Melissa and I, to understand a little bit more about your journeys and how you got here. So it'd be great if you could introduce your roles and also the journey to Antavo as well.
Yeah, so I'm Michelle and I head up the global partnership team at Antavo. I've been here for just over 18 months now, coming up for 2 years. It's gone so quickly. And my background was in marketing automation, some DMP, CDP. So I was very much familiar with customer journeys, customer engagement and loyalty to the extent of things like discounting, vouchers, coupons. But obviously that isn't loyalty. That's not full loyalty programs. So it's been such a journey to come here and really get to understand what these loyalty programs are. And I think to pick up on something that Sheila had said, from a partner perspective, you know, we are pure play loyalty. So it's great that we are experts just in this field. We're not looking to go over into any execution like email, CRM. So it means that we work really nicely with partners too, from the services perspective and from other technologies and, you know, full MarTech stack perspectives and integrations as well. But yeah, that's my background, and I'm really enjoying being in the loyalty space.
Thank you.
I have been in the loyalty space for Not far off 25 years now. So wow. I actually started off, my very first job was as a data analyst analysing data from the Homebase loyalty programme and the Sainsbury's programme before Nectar existed. So yeah, my background is in statistics. So I started off, you know, the most main reason loyalty existed was for businesses to capture data and understand what are people buying, when, how, with what. So I was doing the data models and things before it was called data science and everything. And then moved over into more of the customer facing, the so what, what's the business strategy from the data. And then just kind of moved more and more commercial over the years. Had a year down in South Africa launching Pick and Pay's Smart Shopper program, so one of the largest grocery stores there. Then I was out in New York for a few years working with the likes of Saks Fifth Avenue on their customer strategy and customer-centric plans around data and loyalty. And I've been at Antavo now for about 4 years lead the sales team, so responsible for our global sales and expansion.
Wow, that's a busy 25 years. I'm sure you've had a busy 18 months as well. It's interesting, actually, just picking up on what you were saying there, Michelle. You know, I think that's why we have this affinity in, as a partnership, right, with POP, because we're very much in a similar position as you guys in terms of our proposition. We offer really purely native app as a headless solution, as a composable solution. Because we value the partnerships out there and their expertise in other areas. You know, we value your partnership in terms of the expertise in loyalty. So it's really great to hear those synergies in terms of, you know, our CTO would love hearing APIs, right? All of those things, as I'm sure a lot of listeners are. So that's really interesting. And I think as well, in terms of Sheely, just picking up on what you were saying about your early days in loyalty, I mean, I remember as well, it was all around the data mining, isn't it? Yeah. What can we learn from that? But there tended to be a really black hole of time when no one knew what to do with that data. And it's like, how do we get value from that data as a brand and retailer? And I think we're really seeing a shift now from brand thinking, well, actually, what I do is I offer my customer more value, knowing them a little bit more, and in turn I'll get rewarded through their loyalty and more ultimately lifetime value, right?
Yeah, so I think there's also a big difference between what kind of brand and retail you are. So, you know, we're all familiar with Tesco Club Card, the Nectar points, you know, when you're in that grocery space. But I think what loyalty means in that area is still really quite different to what it means for most other retailers. So we our heritage is much more within fashion, beauty, specialty retail, where you've almost got the opposite problem. You don't have customers shopping literally every day, buying dozens of products. You have a customer coming in once, maybe twice a year, buying one item. So, you know, loyalty is less about capturing the data on, for those customers of Antavo, and more about understanding, well, how can I create meaningful touch points with my shoppers between those points of purchase, and understanding, you know, your brand value. You know, grocery, it's still price, location, convenience. That's what, how you're going to choose your grocery. Whereas if you've got 30 different fashion shops all on Oxford Street to choose from, you know, it's about the brand. It is about product, of course, and style, but it's about a lot of other things that make you have that affinity and loyalty. So we're always working with our customers about what can you give back to your customers around experience that's reflecting your brand and why they come to you. So a great example, we work with Rip Curl, and you know, they, you know, people don't love buying surf shorts, they love surfing. So with Rip Curl, you earn points for every wave you surf because we've integrated with their activity tracker. So that, I think, is just a really nice example that kind of captures the essence of what we believe in Antavo, of what a true loyalty program can deliver, and really harness that natural affinity your customers have with your brand, and trying to kind of amplify that and use that in a direction.
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, it is interesting that some fast fashion retailers are trying to incorporate some of the grounding principles from grocery, particularly into differentiated pricing. But what we're seeing, particularly through app usage now, is this idea and this knowledge that I really don't necessarily want to discount, to Michelle's point. I don't want to necessarily give money off. I don't need to. They're my loyal customers. They're gonna come to me. And actually, I don't want shopping to be preeminent, but I want them to engage with me. So you're right. Loyalty can act as a conduit to engagement alongside content. And some of the brands we're working with want things like maybe differentiated product. You know, maybe sort of like early access. We're looking at a lot of live streaming which can come in. And actually the loyalty framework we've built out on the app allows whatever version of loyalty you want to actually be introduced front and center in the app. And it's, you know, it's a joy to go into some of the apps that we have and to say, hello, Helen. You know, first of all, they know who I am. It obviously, you know, it helps if you get the name right. But and then obviously the fact that you offer that choice and those integrations, the Rip Curl one, is fantastic. But actually what Rip Curl are getting out of it is a whole load of data if they use it wisely as to who's actually on the boards using the product that they're selling. So it's a great win-win.
I think as well it's showing that, you know, you're rewarding someone there for a healthy lifestyle choice. You know, it's a different mechanism to engage with that person, and so they're feeling, you know, it's completely different, like we're saying, to the grocery model that's based just on those point systems. You know, this is something that people are really relating to. Like, we've got other brands doing it for hiking and things like that. So yeah, there's different measurements that you can have there with the integrations with the, I guess, the sports trackers that the brands are working with.
But it's smart as well, right? Because once they know how many steps you're doing, they know when you need to replace your hiking boots.
Absolutely.
So they can
there's the offer.
On the internet, loyalty and healthy lifestyle, it's like, oh, actually, no, you've done your sort of whatever money steps you need to replace them.
I think as well there's something there on the membership side, like you were saying about an early access. So we've got a lot of feedback from our consultants and brands about how the word loyalty is used maybe generically, but membership is more, let's say, inclusive. And it is things like you're going to get VIP access to this, or 2 weeks in advance to this, or only these types of customers can receive this type of reward, that kind of thing. So these different touch points with people.
I think that's really important. I mean, we all like to join a club that we think is exclusive. So to think you've got access to a brand that you care about and perhaps differentiated in some way from everybody else is super important.
I'm very proud of my icon tier on a certain app, as you know. show it off quite often. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because also it gives you the opportunity to develop really deep relationships with your customers, right? That is beyond just, we do only care about you buying with us.
Yes.
It's like you say, we care about your health, we care about that. And you start to develop a much deeper level of relationship with that brand when you start to really think, well, they care more about me than just how much I spend with them. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. And I think there's also the aspect of the outcome of those things as well, is you're also encouraging your customers to do certain behaviours. Right. So we all know how powerful word of mouth marketing is, for example. And really, when you do that, how easy is it for some of these customers of yours using your platform to measure the success? Is there real tangible KPIs? Are there intangible? Who's doing it well? And what does that sort of success look like?
Yeah, I think the first point there is probably on you talk about, you know, incentivizing actions and behaviors rather than just transactions. And that's a huge focus for the loyalty kind of industry and sector. You know, the last couple of years, it's, you know, you can track transactions and give some points or give some rewards. Using your loyalty program as a real value exchange with your customers drive so much more success. So for example, with our platform, you can target customers with different kind of questions and surveys. Tell us a bit more about yourself, we'd love to know this. Customers thinking, well, why should I tell you that? Whereas if you're going to get entered into a competition or you're going to get some bonus points, you know, you're much more likely to do that. And you know, we have a challenges module, so you can challenge your customers to do different things, streaks of behavior, you know, welcome, you've just joined up, leave a product review, refer a friend, and sign up to our email all within the first month, and you know, whatever you're going to get. So there's a lot around showing the customers that you appreciate that what they do and how they interact with your brand is valuable to you as a business, not just only when they finally spend some money. And I think we're talking about that kind of exclusivity that you might want with a club and tiers, but you know, that can also be one of the biggest reasons loyalty programs fail, because customers are like, I'm never going to get enough to get any kind of rewards worth anything. Whereas when you encourage these activities and behaviors, then customers are like, oh, I'm earning points, or I'm earning status, or I'm unlocking digital badges, whatever your concept is. So it does make it much more open and accessible, and shows that you value the fact that someone's interacting with your brand, that they are mentioning to a friend, or they are interacting with you on Instagram. So we have a lot around those. In terms of measuring them, yeah, we see huge successes with this. I think loyalty is notoriously difficult to to measure overall and say, you know, my loyalty program generated X, because, you know, some people are like, well, it's your more valuable customers are going to sign up anyway, so of course their baskets are going to be worth more than non-loyalty members, you know, so you've got to do a lot over time, and we have a lot of partners who are specialised kind of in that and do that. But yeah, I mean, things like KFC, they had they have like a 40% redemption rate, 70% of customers saying they'd recommend the loyalty app to their friends and family. You know, that's a really gamified experience. It totally aligns with the brand and the character of KFC. It's instant win, changing the interactions on their app. So one week it's a sledgehammer at a fairground, another week it's a pinball machine, you know, so they're really keeping it fresh and alive. And yeah, I think 22% growth we had at Rip Curl in their purchase frequency for the loyalty members. So yeah, we have some really great results from it. You know, it takes time. Loyalty, it's not like an email campaign. You turn it on, you send an email. We can measure it in the next 7 days. So there is always a bit of a leap of faith that, you know, we can get the platform up and running. You'll see some quick wins, but to really see, it's about long-term, sustainable, profitable growth of your customers, not, you know, because as we say, it's moving away from discounts, moving away from margins, which might drive a bump in your sales this weekend, and trying to have a really healthy business long-term.
So it feels like what you're saying as sort of general advice is, obviously architect the loyalty program that works for your business, but you really need to make it motivational for me as a consumer. You got to make it achievable so that you don't look at it and think, I'm never going to get there, so I'm going to give up. And whatever you're going to offer needs to be tangible. Yeah. And those three things, I guess, you can play around with.
And I'd say a fourth one on there is you've got to keep it fresh. And I think that's why there's been a huge demand the last few years for SaaS loyalty offering rather than some of the more kind of, you know, businesses that have been around for 20 years where it's a lot more custom build kind of loyalty engines, because we all get bored easily. If your loyalty, you know, it's not something you design a loyalty concept, you launch it, you sit back and do nothing. You know, and that has happened with many businesses, and they're coming to us now. Like, we need to replatform. Our program's stale. Customers aren't interacting like they were. And it's because you're not releasing new features every few months, every, you know, it's you have to have the technology and a marketing team that's looking at, well, what's the next thing we can add into loyalty? What could we, you know, how do we change that? How do we give new rewards? How do we give new experiences? So I'd say that'd be the fourth thing, that the program needs to be seen as a living, breathing strategy that needs to evolve and change. Yeah. Otherwise, your customers will get bored and just stop interacting with it.
I mean, it makes sense. So one of the big benefits then of having Antara as a platform is that you can keep what you're offering fresh. Is that right? And do you encourage a test and learn type philosophy, so you can actually run programs and then replace them with other things as well, so the brand has a choice?
Absolutely, totally up to, you know, the customers and how their general marketing and tech kind of plans are. You know, again, you know, we don't want to be, you know, you're like anything, you know, your technology should not dictate what your strategy is. You should understand what you need as a business and then find the best technology to deliver that. And, you know, that's what we want at Antara, that however often, or if you want to test different things in different markets, that, you know, we're there to enable you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much in line with what we've seen, isn't it, Helen, in terms of, you know, loyalty has been part of an app experience for quite a while, because app is where you send your best customers, right? You know, it's why would you keep them on the web when you can have them in your own real estate on your phone? And I think that's why we made the decision last year to put more of a loyalty framework in place, because we realise not all loyalty schemes are made the same, and you don't want to just spend the effort plugging in one and that's it, it doesn't change. Yeah. So we've developed all these sort of different front-end components. So if your loyalty scheme with Intavo, for example, at one point is more of a point system or, you know, that sort of thing, but you turn it into something else, it's something that can be flexibly done on the front end.
I mean,
as well.
I think that's right. Yeah. Like, also, we had a lot of feedback from some of the retailers and brands. First of all, it's confusing as a consumer if there's two apps, like a loyalty app and something else. What am I doing?
Yeah.
And then secondly, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than opening up an app to find it's just an absolute replica of mobile web. We expect a little bit more sophistication. So by bringing it all in together, the brand can really put loyalty at the front and centre, can then offer content and whatever else engagement they want. Oh, and by the way, you can shop and shop in a completely different way. So we do always say sort of commerce, sort of like then sort of like loyalty slash content. And then we talk about community when you widen it out to the engagement. But loyalty is really becoming such a force for powerful reason four boards to sign off native apps now, that definitely the two do tend to go hand in hand. Yeah. You know, usually it's like, I really want to look at loyalty. How am I going to deliver that into the hands of my customers? And then that's where often we can come in.
Because even now, it's still, most of the time, if I'm looking at somebody's loyalty, the first thing you do is you go to the homepage of the website, you scroll right down to the very bottom where they've got the careers section, about us, terms and conditions, and you'll see a link to their loyalty program.
Yeah,
you know, and and then they wonder why maybe it's not performing as well.
Right.
You know, it needs to be fully integrated into your stores, your e-commerce, you know, and as you say, app is just the best way to really bring it to life and engage your customers, give them a reason. You know, we have customers who do like a spin to win wheel. So every time you go on the app, look at your loyalty section, you've got a chance to win something. So it's a brilliant way of just driving those engaged customers into a channel. But yeah, if you don't integrate it fully through your entire digital experience, it's just going to be seen as an add-on rather than a core part of your customer offering.
I think it's really important, like you touched on, like regionally or, you know, vertically, there are differences with what is going to work. So that test and learn approach. And when we were interviewing 50 plus consultants last year for our global customer loyalty report this year, the insights they were giving on regions, whether it's, say, a vertical like hotel, hospitality, or if it's retail, you know, what's going to work in those different areas and different verticals, it's going to be different for different things. So it's really important not to be generic and just have like one point system and try and put that across everything.
Yes.
You've got to look at those individual areas and see what's going to work in those.
And in your engagements, because obviously you work, we know POC is typically more retail brands, CPG, but you have a much wider sort of vertical. Who typically do you engage with when you're first embarking? Is it the marketing team? Is it the technology team? Is it the CEO? I mean, where do you have to go to have the conversations?
Yeah. It's very interesting. So most of our business is inbound or through partner referrals. So, you know, we're not out there daily kind of cold calling, emailing, trying to get to people. So I always find it fascinating to see who is the person that kind of gets in touch with us. And it really varies. Often it will be, you know, a head of loyalty or a head of CRM, or it will come from the product, the digital product owners, tech side, or the you know, the kind of CTO looking at initiatives. So it's such a varied, because loyalty is one of those things that touches, you know, anything that touches your customers is going to touch every part of your business. It's not just a marketing tool. And obviously with tech stacks and very clear visions around, you know, composable and Mac aligned, all of those elements, IT, much more involved in terms of not which product you should choose, but what type of a design of a product you should choose. So yeah, really varied as to who it is that actually ends up being our main person. But ultimately, during the course of talking to these businesses while they're going through that journey of should we, you know, build in-house, should we bring external tech in? Yeah, it's normally product, tech, digital, and marketing all involved.
That's really interesting. It's very similar to us.
Yeah, it is similar to us. And in terms of when they are coming to you, obviously you are the technology provider. Have they already got a program in place?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, we've actually, you know, we think loyalty has actually probably driven a lot of innovation in our platform, right, in terms of what the brands are really trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So if I take, for example, our dynamic content solution that we've put in there, it's actually around content, as Helen was saying, it's actually more of the loyalty aspect. So, you know, give your consumer, depending on their tier or whatever it may be, exclusive access to some special content that not everyone can see. So we're really finding this concept that brands are now grasping, really driving some of the innovation, I think, which is great, rather than just seeing it as another shopping channel. Or,
and there's a lot more investment in loyalty. Like, we've seen this with, you know, I guess since the, you know, post-COVID, and looking at acquisition versus retention, there's real focus on the customer base and getting those right loyalty programs in place. And to Sheila's point, with these different decision makers being involved, you know, it's a lot more common now that the board are looking at this, that your CTO, your CFOs, they're involved in these decisions. It isn't just the head of loyalty, because the business understands that wider impact you know, for them with loyalty and their, I guess, how they're engaging with their customers.
Mm. And back to kind of what you said at the beginning there about, you know, are these coming with concepts or new? I'd say about, we're at about 50-50 at the moment, the last couple of years, in terms of our new customers either replatforming an existing loyalty program or it being a brand new first time this brand has ever had loyalty. You know, in the replatform, it's a lot of legacy where people have built on top of, you know, their customer data warehouse, their marketing automation, they've just built in some static business rules and the program's not changed and they want to innovate and they know they can't do it in-house and they do need a custom, not custom build, but a specialist platform, a pure play platform that knows that sector. Or then the other half are new where they're like, you know, and most of the time it's like, we're really behind, we don't have loyalty, we've been talking about it for 3 years. Always the way with loyalty, it's been a discussion. I remember working with the customer and the chairman used to say, if you want loyalty, get a effing dog, you know, and that would be it.
I guess the ubiquitous question, is AI going to form part of your journey in terms of how you serve your loyalty program? It'd be good to understand that because I know a lot of retailers think it's transformed the way people are thinking of data. And, you know, these sort of legacy CRM platforms that people have got with so much information that they're not serving. So what's your sort of like strand on AI?
We can't say too much.
We've
got to wait a couple of weeks. We have, of course, got plans with AI. You know, you have to. It would be crazy not to. Yeah. Obviously, what's available out there is changing so fast by the week. You know, so are our plans. But yeah, we'll have some big announcements coming out in October of this year about some vision on not just on AI, but some other really exciting product, new product development. So we are pure play. We're staying in loyalty. We're not, as Michelle said earlier, we're not trying to turn into a CRM or a CDP, but we see the life cycle of a loyalty program in a business is just expanding and touching so many things. And there's so many elements from implementation through to optimization. So we see there's a huge potential still of areas where technology can really support more than just the loyalty engine that's just managing the existing program. So yeah, there'll be some exciting announcements coming out in October.
Fantastic. We'll look forward to seeing those. Absolutely. And I think it's interesting as well because, you know, you talked earlier around the importance of keeping these schemes that are offering fresh and keep them moving. And I really think that's where AI helps everyone, right, in terms of can drive efficiencies to give people more bandwidth to be more creative.
Exactly.
That's really the benefit at the moment anyway, in terms of because really teams aren't getting much bigger in brands and retailers, are they?
Exactly.
They're having to be a bit more creative to learn how to do stuff. Michelle, you mentioned some survey and reports previously. So that's quite interesting. So what sort of people do you go out and survey?
Well, there's a real mix. So we're into the third year now of running this global research, and it's called the Global Customer Loyalty Report. And last year's, we interviewed over 50 consultants. But we put the survey out, and actually, as we're recording this, we're just launching the survey for next year. It'll be great to get the insights from customers, prospects, anybody that's seeing the link online. You know, we just want to get from retail, from travel, all sorts of different perspectives. But we have main consultants. We also have some of our tech partners giving opinions on this too. And all of this creates some really nice research on the trends that are, you know, coming up for the next year. So that's where we've seen, you know, where we've interviewed people who are experts in a particular field, like say travel, hospitality, or retail, and their thoughts on how this is, you know, going to change over the coming 24 months, 12 months, whatever that is.
And just to add to what Michelle's saying, I think it was over 800 industry experts who responded to the survey last year, and we're actually augmenting it this year with doing consumer research as well, so asking the actual loyalty shopper, loyalty members themselves about loyalty. So we'll have that full end-to-end within the report from the business owner through to the end customer and the trends that we're seeing. So we're really excited about how that's going to look.
In fact, actually, we did some work actually a couple of years ago with a really bright team from the University of Bath who were looking at a thesis in, you know, does loyalty matter? And it was a fascinating piece of work actually, where they were sort of like applying lots of sort of quant and qual sort of overlays to it. And it shows that it's still very, very, very complex area. And because many, many consumers don't really, you know, back to Melissa's point, understand what loyalty is or when they are actually being served loyalty. So it'd be fascinating to see what your report comes out and whether it's developed anymore over the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely put the links. I think it's a good point, actually. We'll put the link to our report as well on the show notes if anybody's interested, because, it's still available, and I'm sure everybody will be interested in the survey, right? So it's we'll definitely put those on. And I think it's interesting because I actually, obviously, we're recording this today. When this gets published, it won't be today, but I remember watching the news, actually, listening to the radio, the news on the radio last week, and people are now actually starting to question a lot of the loyalty schemes out there by the supermarkets, in terms of, really, are they getting value from those schemes? And it's interesting how some of the more traditional ways of surfacing that can actually create some negative connotations now in the marketplace, I guess. So it's not that people don't want loyalty schemes and programs and to be part of them, but they want to see really the value and ensure that it's creating those relationships.
Yeah, I mean, we're all more savvy, aren't we, than we were 20 years ago. We understand as consumers our data is valuable to businesses, and we're being tracked and monitored, and you know, you say something to a friend and then it's on your Instagram ad and you know, these things happen. So I think there is a natural holding businesses to a higher account, and you know, what are you doing with this and why are you doing that? And you know, the whole debate on the differentiated pricing being a huge one. Some people see it, great, because I'm going to get a cheap price because I've got loyalty. Others are like, I'm just popping in to grab something. Why do I have to sign up to your loyalty program? Otherwise you're overcharging me, you're penalizing me. It's not the real price, it's an inflated price. So I think, you know, when it comes to, you know, those, but to me, that's more of a pricing strategy. That's not a loyalty program. You know, it's managed through a card because you've got to identify which price someone should get. But it's not loyalty. Yeah. It's not engaging customers with your brand. It's not genuinely making them feel valued and appreciated for choosing to spend their money with you when they don't have to. So for me, I think the grocery, it's a very specific type of loyalty and a lot of different challenges, and the data and everything is quite unique to, if you're talking about a loyalty program, like we say for KFC or for know, a department store chain, you know, there's real differences.
And I think also it'd be interesting, the survey results, because I think there's always some debate over genders as well in terms of loyalty schemes and so on. But I have to admit, I saw it truly in action with my husband, who's very anti giving his data to anyone, you know, all of that sort of stuff. But he did sign up to a loyalty scheme for a sneaker brand for our US clients out there, or trainer brand. And it seriously worked. He has their app. He constantly looks at the app daily. Yeah. You know, they're prompting him.
And I bet it's giving him more than points, though, isn't it? It's engaging. No, it's, is it engaging him with his passion for
exclusivity to certain sneakers and so on? Yeah. So it's very interesting. Like you say, how much it's evolved. So I will greatly, with much intrigue, be looking at the survey results.
It's actually reminded me of Luisa Viaroma is one of our customers. They're a very premium, like a Net-a-Porter kind of out of Italy. And sneakers, I think, just taps in. People just love sneakers, don't they? And they would get really great limited edition drops from the big brands, and they were just being sold out to resellers and instantly gone. So to get around that, they came up with a great idea, which was to create a sneakers club, part of the loyalty. You pay your loyalty points to be part of the club. You get told that the limited editions are coming. There's a countdown. You get access to them before other customers, and it also limits you to buying just one pair, because with the loyalty you can do that. So it meant, you know, the reseller couldn't just join loyalty and still do what they were doing. And I think, you know, again, back to like how do you measure the ROI of a program or the profitability, over 2 million euros worth of points were burned from customers to just join that club to then go on and buy full price items. So again, you know, how you're positioning this back into your business, into your CFO, into the value of loyalty. That's one really nice tangible example of, this isn't just a cost center. We're not just discounting. Actually, the exact opposite can be the case if you're creative and really think about, what are your customers coming to you for? What do they value? In this case, the sneakers, and how do we harness that?
it's a club within a club that's taking an even more. It's the VIP room within the VIP room.
I mean, we're doing
but open to all, self-selecting, which is nice if it's your interest.
The whole area of, I mean, sneakers and scarcity is super important. We're also seeing, and hopefully they'll be on a podcast in a couple of months' time, one of our big brands in the US looking at this whole area of saving. Mm. So rather than sort of like a buy now, pay later, which has got a bit of a bad rep because of the high interest rates, this whole idea of save now, buy later, and therefore linking that to a loyalty scheme. So, you know, you can save your money, you then have access or raffles, you get the scarcity, and you don't need to discount the price of the sneaker because the money's in the account and ready to pay. It's a phenomenal idea.
It's around the hype selling, isn't it? There's, like you say, you desperately want this item. There's a rarity to that item. You might not have the funds immediately. So it's allowing access to all, really, but being part that brand community. So,
And almost like crowdfunding. So you can put, you know, ask them to top up for your birthday present or Christmas present, which I think is a great idea. Yeah. So
nice. Yeah. No, lots of interesting ideas. Gosh, I didn't realise we could talk about loyalty so much.
I could sit here and talk for another 3 days.
It's interesting because you come from it, from obviously technology providers, and ultimately you're in the loyalty platform space, but we feel very much app is around that loyalty space as well. But it's because we're consumers, right? And we're seeing it in our everyday lives, and we're seeing it how our families behave with it and how our friends behave with it. And it's just such an intriguing space. So thank you very much. We do very much appreciate you both being on here. But before we wrap up, I do have one question that I ask all our guests. Helen is always welcome to join in as well. She's given us a couple over our time doing this podcast, and we're always discovering new apps. But if you both have an app that you'd like to recommend to our listeners, it can be an app that you just love, it brings you joy, it makes your life easier. We were just talking about my water bottle before we came on air and how I needed reminding to drink water. It could be something that helps you with some of your behaviours, I guess, that you want to adopt. Yeah. So please share if you wouldn't mind.
Mine's probably health related too. Asana Rebel. So it's like a yoga app, and it motivates me because it encourages me to want to do a yoga session every day. And it reminds me every day if I've done like 5 days in a row, 10 days in a row, you know, whatever that is. So if I see there's a break in that, I'm like, oh, I'm annoyed with myself, and it motivates me to do it again. And then it has, you know, at the end of each session, it gives you a congratulations. Here's how long you worked out for. Here's the amount of calories you burned in that time. And then it links through to other apps on your phone so that you can then go into your health app and see, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Now that's recognizing that I've done this, as well as the number of steps I've done that day. So it's really simple, but it's just a nice way to be reminded and motivated. It's not like a financial purchase thing. It's not that I'm going to go and buy any yoga gear off the back of it. It's just simply about motivating me to be healthier every day.
Oh, fantastic. And how apt that that's an app that obviously, like you says, encourages certain behaviour and rewards you for that behaviour in terms of making you feel good.
That's a
really good one. We haven't had a yoga app yet, I don't think. But yeah, fantastic. How about yourself, Sheila?
Well, slightly maybe controversial to the topic, but mine is also an app that rewards behaviour, but it's behaviour around not accessing the apps on your phone. So somebody who is a bit too easy to just pick up my phone and flip from Instagram to the newspaper apps to a shopping app to my Fitbit app to check my sleep last night, and can easily get lost on apps for too long. I've recently downloaded Opal, I think it's called Opal, and you can set different time zones and different apps. So now at 10 o'clock at night, I cannot access Instagram, social apps, Slack, most importantly for work. I can shut down Slack, and when I try to, it tells me not to. So that's my current one. We'll see how long it lasts. It's quite new, so I'm sure I'll get sick of it soon, and it'll be deleted.
It's quite smart, though, isn't it? An app to manage other apps.
App to manage your app addiction. Yeah.
But you know, I think, you know, as much as we love apps, I think it's always incredibly important that we use them in a very healthy way. Obviously, and we're present in our lives. Yeah. I think we know how powerful they can be. So that's good. And also, you know, lots of young children out there now with their own devices. Yes. So I imagine that's a very good one if you've got young children with phones. So yeah, great tips. Thank you. Any more from you, Helen?
Well, I mean, I always have an app, don't I? And I think the one I'll bring onto the show now is linked to my love of reading. And in fact, actually, it's an area which I think is ripe for exploitation. And there's very few good book club apps actually around. But the Goodreads app, which is obviously now part of Amazon, is phenomenal. Because actually, if you read a lot, you forget what you're reading half the time or what you've read. So there again, it's very similar. It's like an inbuilt loyalty program. You have a book challenge that you set yourself for the year. You can log all your books. You can follow your friends and what they're reading. So I really get a lot of joy out of that. So
I haven't got a new app personally to add, but I would say I recently updated my car, which meant updated CarPlay in my car. And I thought it was really interesting the number of apps now available in CarPlay. It's obviously a really growing area. So that was an interesting, it made me good because the reason why I thought about it, I was able to listen to my audiobooks on the long journey the other week. So, and I very much appreciated that. So. Some tips for everybody there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely wonderful. We're very much looking forward to October.
Yes. Big announcement.
Yes. To see what is going to come out from Antavo.
And I think as well it's worth mentioning it'll be mid-January that we'll be launching our global customer loyalty report. So where we mentioned about the survey earlier. Yeah. So we'll be having that live for a couple of months. Across the next couple of months.
Yeah.
And then we'll obviously bring all of that data together, put the report together, and then there would be a launch of that in Jan. So there's a few key dates we've got coming up.
So people have an opportunity to contribute their,
absolutely,
their thoughts to
yes,
that.
Please.
So that's great.
We'd love
and then
yes.
we can see the results next year. That sounds really good. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure this has got a few people thinking about maybe their own loyalty programs. If they want to hear more about Antavo, where is the best place to reach out?
Well, you'd probably see a lot about us on LinkedIn. But I'm going to say, please just reach out to Sheila or I directly. We can help you, obviously, covering partner side and CSO. Yeah. So, yeah, we're really happy to have anybody contact us.
And Antavo.com, obviously, for the contact info.
That's right. And obviously, you are a global organisation as well. Yeah. So that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. So thank you, Helen. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Michelle. Really appreciate it. And we can't wait to launch another podcast. Hopefully, you may hear back from Antavo on the podcast maybe next year, and we can maybe delve into some of the survey results.
We'd love to.
Definitely.
So, it'd be great.
It'd be fantastic. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.